Hello, it's Wednesday, October 2nd. This is Lyra Dengila, Portfolio Manager for the Sawgrass Diversified Large Growth Strategy. September was another strong positive month for risk assets. Overall, stocks rallied for the month on the back of the Fed's decision to cut by 50 basis points, marking the start of an easing cycle, with the S&P 500 finishing up 2.14% and posting a positive month-on-month return. Among the sectors, consumer discretionary and utilities led the outperformance, while energy, healthcare, and regional banks underperformed. Growth outperformed value, and large caps outperformed small caps. And also, from a factor perspective, momentum outperformed while value underperformed, essentially resuming the trends that we've seen during the first half of the year, with the momentum factor dominating the performance contribution. Large growth stocks outperformed for the month, with the Russell 1000 Growth posting a 2.8% return, on track for a solid year, up 24.5% year to date. The performance gap between the Russell 1000 Growth and the Russell 1000 Value increased further by 1.5% last month, bringing the large growth outperformance relative to value to 8% year to date. Mega cap stocks resumed a strong relative performance this month, driven by investors' enthusiasm for AI, with the Mag 7 equal-weighted index posting a 6.5% total return for the month. Looking at the current cross-asset trends, I wanted to share a couple of market observations. First, the S&P 500 posted a total return of 6% in the third quarter and a total return of 22% year to date, the best start of an election year on record, reaching a new all-time high of 57.62. Strong performance by the largest six stocks have contributed to 44% of that index returns. And also, breaking down the components of the year-to-date return, 9.6% of the total return is attributed to rising earnings expectation, 11.2% from the multiple expansion, and 1.27% from the dividends. So roughly half of the returns that we've seen year to date came from investors essentially paying a higher multiple, and the remaining from the rising earnings expectations. Second, we're finally starting to see the market broadening, with the recently equal-weighted S&P outperforming the S&P by roughly 350 basis points during the third quarter. However, the market is still very narrow in terms of performance for the year, and the momentum factor has outperformed significantly on a year-to-date basis. Stocks with high exposure to momentum, such as AI-related tech and GLP-1 pharma, have continued to outperform significantly this year. And then finally, we saw a big rally in the bond market during the third quarter in anticipation of the Fed's 50 basis points rate cut and the start of the easing cycle. It is when the Treasury yield curve starts to uninvert after the Fed's first rate cut and the start of the rate cutting cycle that the stocks tend to face a period of rising volatility as the economy starts showing signs of growth cooling. Perhaps this time is different, and the Fed's timing is right, and we're on track for a soft landing. In that case, we should start to see market broadening theme continue to outperform going forward. Going forward, we think that the current subdued volatility is mispriced given the recent weak payroll data, cooling economic growth, and the uncertainty of the upcoming elections in November. We think the market broadening will continue given the start of the Fed's easing cycle and the current extreme relative valuations between the mega cap stocks and the rest of the market. We hope this has been helpful. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you.